Good morning. It's time to get up with an angry Aaron. The Packers quarterback fires back at an MVP voter who won't vote for him. Is Rodgers right? Plus, why did Antonio Brown walk off the field? He's telling his side of the story this morning and making some very serious accusations. And is Dak in denial about the Cowboys' issues? Can their offense be fixed in time to save their Super Bowl hopes? We'll talk about that and so much more today on Get Up. And we're so happy you could join us this morning. I'm Ryan Smith and for Greeny. And we're raring to go. Got Bart Scott here, Diana Russini. There's Damian Woody. You see him there joining us from the comfort of his living room. There, well, you'll see him in a second. But first, we got to get to the return of the night. Shall we? Kyrie Irving coming back for the Nets, visiting the Pacers. First time in a game in 8 months. And the Nets trailed by as many as 19 in this one. But late in the third quarter, Durant to Irving, nailing it. Then Irving nailing the jumper right there as time expires. Nets down 7 heading into the fourth. Look at him. He looked great all over the floor. But they were down 7 heading into the here we are in the third, by the way. And there's Kyrie doing work. Watch him right here. Weaving through traffic, putting it in. Kyrie had himself a night. And again, Irving with the jumper not far from the free throw line. Fired up. These Nets looking good. They went on a run towards the end of the fourth. And Lance Stephenson throws it away. Irving takes it down the floor and lays it in right at the free throw line for the jumper. High fives from his teammates. KD towards the end of the game. Nets up 3. Nailing the jumper. He had 39 on the game. And then Pacers looking for the answers on the other end. Not going to find him. Sabonis turning it over. Irving gets the ball. Runs it down court. Makes the tough layup on the other end. Kyrie coming back with 22 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds in 32 minutes. Hugs his dad after the game as Nets win by 8. Here's KD and Kyrie after the game.
I've had a lot of debuts, but nothing comes close to this one. It meant a little bit more just because at this stage, you know, taking off 8 months or being out of the game for 8 months and coming back in, and you know, there's so much uncertainty. Just how many minutes, you know, what's the flow of the game going to be like, you know, how are my teammates going to feel? And so I went in with the, you know, just an open mindset and do whatever it takes to win.
It was amazing to have him out there. I mean, I just missed his presence around the locker room, his energy, his vibe around the team. His game is just so beautiful and, you know, makes the game so much easier for everybody out there. Just the game of basketball, I was happy to have him back.
It's got a beautiful game indeed. And with last night's victory, the Nets improved to 12-3 in the last two seasons, including the playoffs when Irving, Durant, and Harden all played. Now, it was the first time all three have played since game one of the East semis last year against the Bucks. Turning now to football, and we start with Aaron Rodgers, who appears very likely to win his fourth MVP award. Now this week, however, one MVP voter, Chicago-based reporter Hub Arkush, said he would not vote for Rodgers because he is, quote, the biggest jerk in the league, end quote, a bad guy. Oh. Yesterday, Rodgers was asked about these comments, and he did not mince words.
I think he's a bum. I think he's an absolute bum. He doesn't know me. I don't know who he is. No one knew who he was probably until yesterday's comments, but I mean, I listened to the comments, but to say he had his mind made up in the summertime, in the off season, that, you know, I had zero chance of winning MVP, in my opinion, should exclude future votes. You know, his problem isn't with me being a bad guy or the biggest jerk in the league. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me. I mean, I've never met him. His problem is I'm not vaccinated. You know, so if he wants to go on a crusade and collude and come up with an extra letter to put on the award just for this season and make it the most valuable vaccinated player, then he should do that. But he's a bum, and I'm not going to waste any time worrying about that stuff.
Now, I should add here that the reporter has since apologized for those comments.
You can't take it back. You have to own it.
Nope.
And I think Aaron, you know, has a point. I'm not talking about the most valuable vaccine. Now, that's some other stuff that he's talking about. I think, you know, you talk about a Chicago bias. You talk about somebody that thinks they know somebody because they spend time with them or they hear comments that they make. You can't make those judgments. I think he should exclude himself from ever being able to vote on an award before. But this opens up Pandora's box, right? Because we see this happen with the MVP vote. We saw guys like Charles Haley, Terrell Owens, where people, this is not about what you like about somebody's personality. It's about what you do on the football field. It's about your contribution to your team. And Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the league, and I think he deserves, you know, being unanimous. I mean, he should be able to get every vote. And if you do that, I think you shouldn't, you know, he's, first of all, he's dumb enough to be able to admit it and put it out there. Yeah. And I think once you do that, you should be made an example of. Yeah. He should be stricken from his ability to vote for the award.
Oh, I wonder if that'll happen.
So I agree with you in terms of the perspective. He doesn't know who Aaron Rodgers is. The locker room knows who Aaron Rodgers is. And what he puts on the field is the most important in terms of making this vote. But here's the thing. When you are making this vote, we're all human beings, right? We're not robots just looking at stats and numbers. We're going to take into account everything we know about people, or at least what we think we know, right? Because we live in an age now where social media gives us so much access to people, and they put out what they want us to believe. So it's hard not to form an opinion about players because we're getting so much intel information about what they're sending our way.
You're not defending him. You're saying he's a human being. This is what human beings do.
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely not defending the reporter.
But numbers
at
don't
all.
Lie. Numbers don't lie. You have to keep it to the numbers. You got to get your personal feelings up out of it, Diana.
Yeah. No. I agree. The stats. I have no argument. Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, as a reporter, is the MVP. I don't have a vote, but I do understand that sometimes, not even sometimes, I think anytime you cast a vote on a person, you're going to take into account not just the stats. You're going to look at that person as a whole. Calling him a jerk, how does he know? That's where he went wrong.
D. Wood, I want to bring you in here. What do you think?
I think it's BS. And for me, I take it personally, to be honest with you, as a former athlete, because, and Bart would know this as well, you know, the one thing about athletes, we care very much about our legacy. To me, this is what it's all about. It's about legacy. The fact that he's going to interject his personal feelings into something that means so much to a lot of athletes. We care about these things. We care about these accolades. And for him to say, well, because he felt like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a jerk, or, you know, vaccination status might come into it and all that, none of that matters. We're talking strictly on the football field. What do your eyes tell you? How has Aaron Rodgers performed on the football field? That's what this award is all about. And the fact that he admitted that he's interjected his personal feelings in this, I don't think he should have a vote anymore. Because, again, we're talking about a person's legacy here. That's important.
And D. Wood, you know, this comes into Hall of Fame voting all the time, right? And I think that's why we should have more players on these panels. And it should be an award from the peers, because we know more than anything. And we don't care about our personal feelings about what somebody is as an opponent. We just know how we have to prepare for them and how difficult they are to prepare for and how good they are, because we have the trained eyes to know really what matters on the football field, the nuance. You know, the outside parachute fan may not know the nuance, what makes a player great. And it's not always about the numbers, right? You know, the numbers lie sometimes. It's about how difficult and how responsible somebody is for the wins or losses.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a great point, the idea of Hall of Fame voting and other things. You know, we like to think that everybody's looking just on the field, but personal biases do come into play, and that's part of the problem. And I wonder if this changes the way we look at this voting in the future.
Oh,
it changes the process.
Absolutely. I spoke with a player yesterday, a player who won a Super Bowl, actually, about this, just trying to get a thought and opinion. And he asked the same question Bart did. He said, why aren't there more players and coaches, GMs, making these votes? Why is it up to the media? He's like, what does the media know? What do you guys know? And mm-hmm. he wasn't getting defensive about it, but I completely understand what he's saying, because the reality is reporters don't know any of these guys. Bart, how many times have you been interviewed by a reporter? You put on a certain face.
Well, the whole world thinks I'm a jerk, right? Everybody thinks I'm a jerk anyway, so I understand. But my teammates and people that work with me understand who the real person is. You understand that you're always guarded as an athlete when you're on the football field, when you're in the locker room. You don't let it down. Like, you know, for outside perception, like, I always give Bill Belichick a tough time, and we give him a tough time. But everybody that's around him loves him as a person, and he shows who he really is. It's hard to do that, and it's hard to judge somebody on a 10, 15-second clip or a quote that they hear when you don't understand what's surrounding that and what they're trying to set up.
And I want to move on, you guys, to another story that's really been evolving day to day, and it involves Antonio Brown. He's telling his side of the story on why he walked off the field on Sunday. Now, Brown said he was asked to play on an injured ankle that will require surgery, which is why he exited so abruptly. Now, in a lengthy statement released last night, which you can read in its entirety on ESPN.com, Brown said an MRI on Monday revealed a broken bone fragments and a ligament torn from the bone and Cardo's loss as well. Now, here's what Brown had to say about what happened on the sidelines. Quote, I took a seat on the sideline and my coach came up to me very upset and shouted, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I told him, it's my ankle. But he knew that. It was well documented and we had discussed it. He then ordered me to get on the field. I said, coach, I can't. He didn't call for medical attention. Instead, he shouted at me, you're done, while he ran a finger across his throat. Now, coach was telling me that if I didn't play hurt, then I was done with the Bucks. Brown also added, I am reflecting on my reaction, but there was a trigger. The trigger was someone telling me that I'm not allowed to feel pain. Now, listen to this. Well before that statement was released, on Monday, Arians was asked about Brown's injury situation.
Can you fire a player if he won't go because he's injured?
I don't know that he was.
Did he say that he was, or was there a dispute about that?
No.
Okay. Now, in hindsight, that's an interesting comment. D-Wood, I want to go to you and ask about this situation. How does this Brown injury situation resonate with you based on your experiences as a player?
Oh, man, this is a lot to unpack in this whole situation. But as far as myself and my 12-year career, first of all, no coach is going to make me go play when I know I can't go play. That's number one. Number two, I always had all of my medical records with me. If I felt like at any given point that the diagnosis from the team, something was shady about it, I always got a second opinion. Always got a second opinion, because at the end of the day, you have to look out for number one, yourself, because you are your own corporation. Now, as far as this, you know, the getting the shot, because I think that was something that AB had mentioned, and Bar can speak to this as well. That's Toradol. Everyone got Toradol shots at some point during their playing career. I got it many a times. When I knew I was injured and shouldn't play, I got it because I felt like, you know what? I'll deal with the injury after the season. I'm going to do whatever I got to do in order to try to get out there and play with my brothers, okay? So I think that the whole notion of AB in his statement saying, trying to say that he didn't know exactly what he was doing as far as the Toradol. Everyone knows what the Toradol shot is all about. It's all about just trying to get yourself through it. So, listen, I'm just speaking for me and how I dealt with injuries, but I think some of the stuff in there is a little eye-opening as far as how other players look at this AB situation.
What do you think?
I mean, we've all played injured. We've all played hurt. But it's a difference, right? Hurt is pain. Injured is the inability for your body to respond and do what it needs to do for you to perform at a high level. And, you know, D-Wood, since we left, I don't think they even give out the Toradol shot anymore. They give out the Toradol pill. But, you know, so when I hear shot, I hear like the pain blocking shot, right? Which I've taken a couple of those for playoff games, things of that sort. But what happens is when that shot wears off, you don't understand or know how much damage that you've done because of the shot, right? So it is one of those things, right? AB has had a checkered season this year, right? And this team has went out on a limb. They kept him back when he had the fake vaccination card. But this is some allegations that, you know, is going to have to be dug into, because it's going to be a paper trail, right? He's going to be on the injury report for certain things, right? But it's hard for you to say how injured someone is, right? And, you know, I think that's the reason why AB is still on his football team, because there's a lot of legal things involved in it. But, you know, if AB is correct in saying that, hey, I was injured and I expressed this, then, you know, I don't see how – I can see his career being able to continue. So this is the fight that he's going to have to fight for, to prove that he wasn't being a malcontent. He did it because he was injured and he didn't want to further hurt himself.
Yeah, and it's so early in this situation. We don't know the legal back and forth or other things that are going on behind the scenes, waiting to find all that out. But, Diana, in a statement, Brown said he's going to have surgery in this offseason, looks forward to coming back next season. Do you think he has a future in the NFL?
I do. We've seen him go through a career of issues and problems, and I'm sure if we put up a graphic of it, we would need to take a good 30 seconds to go through it all. He's had a lot of problems with different organizations, different coaching staffs, players. But at the end of the day, the talent always supersedes any of those problems. And now we just wait for the Bucks to make that decision because they're expecting lawsuits to come their way. So they're just getting their ducks all lined up in a row now.
We will see what happens in this one. Well, we'll also talk about this one, too. Coming up, the Cowboys offense. Well, it's not exactly clicking on all cylinders, is it? Can it be fixed in time to save their Super Bowl dreams? We'll talk about that. Plus, Patrick Mahomes, he's trying to make it three straight Super Bowl appearances. But something happened yesterday that could change everything in the AFC.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up, and let's start, Diana, and run the hurry up starting in Cincinnati.
All right, Cincinnati's facing the Cleveland Browns, and they're going to be without their starting quarterback, Joe Burrow, who's deciding to rest this game. He says his knee's a little sore. No major concerns, though, because we know he's coming off that major ACL injury. Meantime, his running back, Joe Mixon, tested positive for COVID-19. He'll also sit out in this one, of course, because of the protocol. He tested positive on a Wednesday, so that doesn't give him enough time to get in that lineup. So Cincy without their two big offensive weapons. Meantime, Jimmy Garoppolo practiced yesterday out on the field. It was the first time that we saw him throw a football since he entered it against the Tennessee Titans on December 23rd. But here's the thing you need to know. Kyle Shanahan has said and has been consistent the whole time. He said, Jimmy needs to be 100% in order for me to choose him as the starter on Sunday against the Rams. So if he's not 100%, he's not going to be able to go. And we're going to see the rookie Trey Lance out there. And what a good sight it was for Titans fans yesterday, seeing their guy, running back Derrick Henry, back out on the field. I was told he's most likely not going to be playing this Sunday against the Houston Texans. Of course, we know that the Tennessee Titans are trying to lock up that number one spot in the AFC, trying to get that bye, a home field advantage. They've shown, or at least proven this past season, though, the run game's all right without Derrick Henry, but of course, it's good to have him back.
Very good to have him back. So let's keep it with those Titans, shall we? They're in position again to take that number one seed. Yep. King Henry coming back. So we asked everybody, who are you taking to come out of the AFC? Diana, I'll start with you.
Yeah, this could be tough when I head back to Nashville if they wind up getting that number one spot. But I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be able to come through here. I think they've got the quarterback. They've got the coaching staff. They've been there before. And look, their momentum is just doing nothing but going up. Yes, and we know that they were beaten by the Bengals just recently. But I think in terms of total makeup, top to bottom, the Chiefs have the best shot of going far.
And you know what? We just actually revealed this in the interest of time, which matters above all in television.
Oh, look at that.
We just said everybody picked the Chiefs because we all did.
Well, this is the mush. This means no.
So let me ask a different. I want to ask a different question to kind of look at this differently. Okay, who do you think is the number one threat, Bart, to KC?
I mean, it has to be the Tennessee Titans. They've been knocking on the door. I can also see the Buffalo Bills as well. you know, this, listen, this is a flawed Kansas City team, but everybody in the AFC is flawed. Everybody has their warts. And it just takes one bad bounce of the ball. And, you know, you just believe in Kansas City right now because, you know, but I don't feel strongly about it. Listen, they have been knocking on the door. You know, A.J. Brown, I wish Julio Jones could get healthy because they need somebody to balance that passing game off. And it comes on, can Ryan Tannehill go into a Joe Flacco-like trance where he doesn't turn the football over and he plays at a high level and able to push the ball down the field, not just, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts.
And here's the thing. We talk about the return of Derrick Henry. Yeah, that's great. But in terms of injuries overall, remember, this is the team that's had the most injuries. They've had the most active players on their roster in NFL history. They have 88 different players. But the good news for them is everyone is healthy now. So they are peaking at the right time here and obviously have momentum as we've seen them put together some really good wins over the last few
weeks. Nothing like peaking at the right time. D-Wood, who's your number one threat to KC?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Buffalo Bills. I think that game in Foxborough did wonders for the Buffalo Bills. I thought Josh Allen literally put that team on his back and came away with a big win. And I think just heading into the postseason, I don't think a lot of teams want to see Josh Allen, you know, in the postseason throwing dimes out there like he was doing in Foxborough.
I agree with that, but the thing is, can I trust him consistently every week?
Yeah, that run defense is a blueprint out there. Mm-hmm. There's a couple teams that can have that blueprint. You look at Tennessee, but you also look at the Colts. You know, already had success against them. I don't know if they're tough enough up the middle. They built their team to beat Kansas City. You know, without Tre'Davious White, I just don't know if they have enough to be able to match up man-to-man to be able to load the box. They're going to have to put that eighth man in the box, which is going to put their secondary, you know, into rest.
It's interesting that we're looking at this big picture here, and the teams that are going to cause all these threats are the teams that have the best run game at this point. Meanwhile, we got these incredible quarterbacks with high-powered offenses, yet it's the run game that has become the most dangerous.
Because you can ugly the game up. And me, D. Wood, I've been a part of two teams with two rookies that we just suffocate and take the air out of the ball, right? If you can run the ball and win the game possession, it puts so much pressure on the opposing team to have to score. And if you're a team that can run the football like the Patriots as well, you get up by two scores, it puts that team in a panic, and people panic and turn the football over.
I know D. Wood likes this. It all comes down to the trenches. D. Wood, is that the key for these playoffs?
It's always about the trenches. You know, we always talk about quarterbacks and wide receivers, but when you look at the top teams, usually in the postseason, they have one theme in common. Top offensive lines, you know, any team that you point to, you can look there and have one of the best offensive lines. So the game of football is never going to change. It's always going to come down to the trenches.
Yeah, it's why I have
ringing endorsement.
It's why I have the Chiefs, you know, going far, winning it, because they did a lot of work in this offseason to bolster that offensive line, which we saw absolutely struggle because of injuries last year, and which is why they lost the Super Bowl.
Okay, let's take it.
They got to run the ball.
That's true. Let's take it from the trenches to the skill players, specifically Dallas. Coming up, Dak is in denial. Is Dak in denial about the Cowboys issues? And here's the big question: can their offense be fixed in time to save their Super Bowl hopes? And the Nets get a big boost from Kyrie and his return. Does a part-time superstar make the Nets a team to beat?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
It's an SEC battle for the ages. Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide going for their 7th national championship in 13 years. The Georgia Bulldogs looking to win their first title since 1980. Who will make history? We have it covered from top to bottom. Tuesday morning right here on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Week 18 is here, and it's time for Start or Sit. We'll go through a couple key players in the league with our analyst. Diana, Packers have locked up the top seed. Rodgers, start or sit him?
You sit the man. He's got that toe issue right now. He needs rest. Yes, we know they're going to get that bye, but why not add another week? If anyone has proved that he doesn't need a lot of workout on the practice field, it's Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Aaron has practiced in like 3 months. Not real. But still, I think time away, getting some rest is anything but good for him.
D-Wood, Cowboys are jockeying for seeding. Should Dak start or sit?
I'm going start, man, because I think it's so important for the Dallas Cowboys, and particularly this offense, to find some type of confidence heading into the postseason. We've seen now that this offense has been struggling for quite a bit of time. You know, whether it be the timing between Dak and his skill group, wide receivers, but they need some confidence heading into the postseason.
All right, could be a nice shot for them if they beat the Eagles. Bart, Lamar Jackson still banged up. Start or sit?
Well, first of all, what are they playing on? Practice on sand?
I have been trying to figure this out.
Like, it's not even that cold
You're
in Baltimore. They're playing on hay.
I don't know what.
Yeah, but is he going to start or sit?
Well, listen, I think he needs to sit. I think you don't. He's a franchise player. You don't put him in harm's way. You don't want him to injure that even more where he has to have off-season surgery. You want Lamar to get healthy and be able to come into the off-season and be able to practice and tighten up his game. Listen, it's over in Baltimore, and it's hard to say, but you know, last week that was a nail in the coffin. It's the law of diminished returns. You have nothing to gain by letting Lamar Jackson play.
They still have a very slim chance of making the playoffs, but a lot of things have to happen for that to happen. Now, the Cowboys, their 4-game win streak was snapped last week against Arizona. They failed to force a turnover in that game for the first time since Week 12. Dallas is going to finish up its season in Philly on Saturday, 8:15 on ESPN and ABC. The Cowboys are currently the number 4 seed in the NFC. And get this, they have a 93% chance to end up with the 4 seed, according to FPI. And then there's Dak and the offense. They've struggled. They did against the Cardinals. Dak had 5 passes batted at the line of scrimmage. He had 8 passes batted down all season entering the day. And here he is on their offensive issues.
I feel like I'm seeing it fine. I don't know if y'all differ. It doesn't really matter to me. We're continuing to get better and work. And that's the simple fact of it.
Now, that's interesting because he was asked the question of how does he think he's seeing the field. And D. Wood, I want to bring you in on this because that's a criticism that people have talked about on this show this week. He's got some issues seeing the field. Are you concerned about Dak and these Cowboys heading into the postseason?
I am because so much about the postseason is heading into it with some confidence. And what you see from the Dallas Cowboys, particularly in offense, they just don't have that. They haven't had that in a while. I'm throwing out the Washington football game because it was a Washington football team. There's batted passes, you know, routes that aren't on the same page. The running game is still not where it needs to be. So as much as we laud about their defense and how they played, the offense just hasn't shown up to the show. And if that's going to be the case, we could be looking at an early exit for the Dallas Cowboys in the postseason.
Could you imagine what kind of disappointment that would be? An early exit for these Cowboys. And that's the thing, Diana. This is a Super Bowl or bust team in many ways. We talk about, oh, they win a game. Maybe it's all good. No, not in Dallas. So what do they have to do to right the ship?
Yeah, they've done a tremendous job putting this roster together. Dan Quinn's come in there and completely revamped the defense. Dak Prescott has been up and down. These receivers have been up and down. I think when you think of a word to go that coincide with the Dallas Cowboys right now, in order, if you want to believe in them, they need to find consistency. Here we are, guys, in 2022 here in a new year, and we still don't really know what they are. That's not a good sign. The best teams know exactly what they are at this point in the season, and Dallas has just been too up and down for me to believe that they're going to make a far run here.
But you know what the thing is, and this is why we talk about the Cowboys so much, the potential, Bart, the potential of this team.
Yeah, potential to get you fired.
and that's what but I'm saying, could they still make a run with this potential, these stars? It seems like their upside is greater than most teams.
Yeah, because you know, of course they could, right? This is a team that could, I wouldn't be surprised that can get to the NFC Championship. It wouldn't be a team that I would be surprised that losing a wild card weekend. The problem is, to that Diana's point, they don't know who they are. And whenever you're going to put the ball in Dak's hands 38 times and he has 14 incompletions, you continue to allow other teams to get the ball and be able to be aggressive down the field. They have to establish a running game. They have no identity. If you can't set the running game, sets up everything. They're supposed to have the best offensive line. You know, they definitely spend the money to have the best offensive line. Mm-hmm. That sets up everything behind it. When you look at last week against the Cardinals, they ran the football 17 times for the tune of 39 yards, 42 yards. That's not going to get you. Listen, when you become that one-dimensional, you know, every time a quarterback drops back, you know, it puts you at risk. And last week, Chandler Jones was a disruptor, and they got beat. Unfortunately, they're not going to play against the Washington football team in the postseason. They're going to play against other people that are just as talented as they are, and they're going to have to impose their will.
So I want to do a quick straw poll here. Mm-hmm. Cowboys one and done in the playoffs?
Yeah, barbecue chicken.
Oof. One and done, you think?
I actually don't like barbecue, but barbecue chicken
I
as well.
Like barbecue. Okay. I don't even understand that point. D. Wood, are the Cowboys one and done in the postseason?
At this rate, yes, they are.
Look at that. Why are we all agree today? This is a great morning.
Well, even bigger than that, though, I can't believe that we're talking about the Cowboys like this when at the beginning of the season, we were looking at them as Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, what were they doing? They were running the ball on everybody. Then when you loaded up the box, that's when they took advantage of the one-on-one coverages on the outside. See, they forgot who they were. That's what happens when you have a good quarterback. You try and make it about him and go through him when it has to go through the ground game and the offensive line. That's what you invested the draft capital in. That's what you put your salary cap money in, and then you give Ezekiel Elliott all his money. And listen, he's not the same player that he once was, but you have to give them an attempt to get into the rhythm because it sets up everything down the field. Sometimes you get too cute.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see how that plays out. Hey,
we'll see how cute and potential. Hey, writing notes.
Maybe if he plays with the Eagles this weekend, we'll see. Maybe it gets him into that momentum like D. Wood's talking about. Meanwhile, speaking of momentum, this guy gave the Nets a lot of momentum. The return of the night, Kyrie back, Nets visiting the Pacers, his first time back in 8 months. Nets trailed as many by 19 in this one, but late in the third, Durant to Irving. The shot off the glass. Final seconds of the quarter, Nets down 9. Irving drills the jumper as time expires. Nets down 7 heading into the fourth. 6 to go in the fourth. Nets lead. Nance Stephenson, he throws it away. Irving gets it, and this is what he does best. Run the floor, hit the free throw line jumper. Nets extend their lead to 5. Under 4 minutes to go. Nets up by 5. Sabonis loses the ball. KD picks it up. It gets to Irving. Drive, tough layup. 22 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds in 32 minutes. Starting off with a bang. Nets beat the Pacers by 8. Let us bring in Big Perk now to talk a little bit about Kyrie and this first game back. I just want to get your reaction because there was some thought that he would have some rust. He didn't show that last night.
Well, them thoughts weren't coming from me, Ryan. Let me tell you 3 things about Kyrie Irving, okay? He's a hooper, number 1. Number 2, he's a hooper. Number 3, he's a hooper. Listen, when you have a guy like Kyrie Irving, he's different from everybody else. I don't care if it's 8 months, a year and a half, this guy just gets buckets. This is what he do. And yesterday I told the world that I'd rather have Kyrie Irving part-time than no time. You know why? Because when you have a superstar, talented guy like Kyrie Irving and you're on the road and you're in the playoffs, you're able to overcome being down 15 to 18 points because you have that other killer. And did you see the joy on the Nets' faces? Not only Steve Nash, but Kevin Durant, because he know he has that other guy that he could trust, that if they get down, he could take over the game at any given time. Kyrie Irving is just that special of a talent. No one ever questioned what he brings on the basketball court, and we see why the Nets are invested into him, even if it's part-time.
There were so many questions about if he's part-time, how disruptive is that going to be? It was like he never left. So I got to bring in Bart Scott, ESPN and New York radio host. He talks about this issue all the time on the radio. Yeah. What did you think about the comeback?
I mean, I think he was Uncle Drew yesterday. You talk about his ability to break down the defense and get easy baskets. Those weren't half-court sets. He gets the ball in his hand. He gets to his spot. He's one of the best finishers in the game. And when you look at what the importance of it is, I think the reason that the Nets broke down was the fact that they have to get Kevin Durant and James Harden, who has broken down in their career. These are, you know, below 30 players. These are plus 30 players. They have to get rest on them. You know, they were working Kevin Durant far too much. Kyrie Irving allows you to be able to get a guy who can, you know, generate offense, get buckets, and also be able to facilitate for other people to give Kevin Durant and James Harden the much-needed rest that they need.
So, Big Perk, yesterday when we were talking about this, you were still mentioning that you're kind of leaning towards the Bucks to come out of the East. Does this team, does that change at all with Irving coming back with what you saw last night?
You know, I don't want to be disrespectful to the defending champs in the Milwaukee Bucks, so I still give them the slight edge. But I wouldn't be surprised. I told you this yesterday, Ryan. I wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, ultimately, it comes down to who? In my opinion, it comes down to James Harden. We know what Kyrie Irving could do in the postseason. We watched Kyrie Irving step up in the big moments. We already know two-time final MVP and Kevin Durant, what he's going to bring to the table. The question mark is, what is James Harden going to do? What is James Harden going to do when they're at home without Kyrie Irving? He is the deciding factor on whether or not the Nets are going to come out of the Eastern Conference. Not Kyrie. Not Kevin Durant, is going to be James Harden, and is he going to elevate his game?
Interesting. But so who you got coming out of the East?
Man, I got the Nets. Come on, Perk. Hey, listen, if Kevin Durant had a smaller shoe, they would have won. He carried that team by itself. Now he's going to have backup. You know, and if we go into the postseason, James Harden's healthy, I think it's not a contest. I think they take it in six.
Well, boy, if was a fifth, we'll all be drunk, okay? That's first thing first.
But I wish it was. At the end of the day, if was a fifth.
But listen, one thing that we all have to realize, and one person that we all have to respect, is Giannis Antetokounmpo, okay? And the way that he's been playing, a guy that is the most dominant player in today's game, and he has two other counterpartners too as well, and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. So I can't just count out the Milwaukee Bucks like that. I won't disrespect them. We know the Nets have the firepower offensively. We know the Nets have Kevin Durant. But, man, I will never go against Giannis and just count him out after what he showed me last postseason.
Yeah, maybe things have to play out a little bit more. All right, guys, thanks so much. And let me tell you about this. What a jam-packed January sports calendar we have for you. Our NFL Week 18 doubleheader is Saturday. The national championship game between Georgia and Bama is Monday. And the Spanish Super Cup semis between Real Madrid and Barcelona is next Wednesday. And there's more the rest of the month. A little bit of everything on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. Well, coming up, could Jim Harbaugh actually return to the NFL? And is it a good idea? We'll talk about that coming up. And who has a better shot at getting to the Super Bowl, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick? We'll weigh in on that when we come back on Get Up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To all the non-believers.
How did that
to all the non-believers.
I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait.
We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
No, I can't wait.
Still my favorite theme music of any segment we have here on Get Up. It's time for Bart to tell us the three things he can't wait for heading into Week 18. Let's start with the Bills, who play the Jets this Sunday.
Well, not to pat myself on the back, but last week I was about 90% of all my predictions. Well, I think this is a foregone conclusion. Shame on you, NFL, for flexing this game, making me have to work late in the afternoon. We know that the Bills are going to, you know, put the cherry on top, and Josh Allen is going to make it official like a whistle when they win the division. But I can't wait to see it happen. You know, this is a team that, you know, had question marks, and they're going into, you know, the playoffs as a very dangerous team because of that man right there. Josh Allen is playing at an MVP level.
And you can't wait for something out of Jacksonville, right?
Oh, man, I love it. Listen, we know that Indianapolis has never gone down to Jacksonville, at least in recent history, and won a game. But all the fans are planning a clown out. What is a clown out, you say? I think everybody's going to come here looking like Krusty Krab or something. What is it, guys? Krusty
the Clown?
Krusty the Clown. Everybody's going to come because they are upset. They want Trent Baalke, the general manager, fired as well. I don't know. This is going to be funny, man. I don't know if that makeup holds up in the weather.
Okay. And then let's talk about, I think, one of the biggest games of this weekend, Raiders-Chargers. What can't you wait for?
Oh, man, I can't wait to see what quarterback is going to step up and carry their team on their shoulders. We know when it comes to these type of matchups, it usually comes down to the last drive. You got Derek Carr on one side, Justin Herbert on the other side. You talk about the Raiders being an opener after all that they've been through to be able to get to the postseason would be a miracle, and it continues to be one of the most attractive jobs this offseason. Derek Carr can stamp his name in Raiders history if he can carry this team into the postseason. Ooh, I can't wait to see it.
I'm telling you. And we're going to get picks on that later to see who he thinks is going to win that game. Now, you know what? Speaking of playoff teams and maybe teams even looking for a coach, could be the Raiders, I don't know. Next stop, Ann Arbor, where Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh may be interested in an NFL return, according to Bruce Feldman of The Athletic. Harbaugh finally beat Ohio State en route to a Big Ten title and college football playoff berth for Michigan this season. Now, Jim Harbaugh's had a lot of success as an NFL head coach with the 49ers, even leading San Francisco to Super Bowl 47. And don't forget, compiled a 44-19-1 record in four seasons as the head man with the 49ers. And this has been such an interesting topic all week. Bar, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
Because Jim Harbaugh, he's a polarizing guy, but very, very effective when he was in the NFL.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. Can you see him returning to the NFL, and what would that be like?
Well, I can, but he has to have a ready-made team because you talk about all the success he had in San Francisco, but he can't play well in the sandbox at times. And it's not my opinion. It's said that he wears out a facility, right? And he's hard on his players. He's hard on his coaches. But listen, a team like the Raiders would be the perfect scenario because they just need some focus, some discipline. He's a guy that can get a team like that over the top. He's known as a quarterback whisperer. But I just think that, listen, it is too good in Ann Arbor right now. I think this is a ploy so he can go ahead and get some of that money back that he gave back last year. He finally beat Michigan, you know, Ohio State, and he can be a coach there for 10 years. You come back into the real world where we talk about with the big boys, you know, you got a four-year window, and you may find yourself unemployed again.
Yeah, here's the thing, Bart. I don't think he's one of those guys that's chasing the money. He's made plenty over the years. I know you can always make more, but I think he looks at the scenario in the college football world right now. You got Ohio State, you got Alabama. How are you going to beat that recruiting? Michigan can only go so far, and he's been able to check off the big box, which is he's beating the Buckeyes, right?
They
that's what
Jordan
they want
Brand.
To do. But I think big picture, he can only go so far. Their ceiling is only so high. Why not go back to a place where he's had so much success, which is the NFL? We saw what he did with Colin Kaepernick. We saw what he did with Andrew Luck at Stanford. He has this ability to get the best out of quarterbacks. For me, I think the place, the organization that should be calling him right now is the Jags. I know Trent Baalke's there.
Wow.
I know Trent Baalke's there. But they need a quick fix. This is a losing organization, and they've been losing for a long time. I think if there's anyone who can go in there, coach up this, you know, number one overall pick in Trevor Lawrence, get this offense going and change the entire culture, it would be Jim.
And referring to Trent Baalke, by the way, on the Jaguars, the GM there now, you're saying that when they were in San Francisco together, he fired Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, Baalke and Harbaugh can't get back together. Mm-hmm. I would think if Jim was to come in there, he would probably bring his own GM there and have full control because he's that type of head coach.
Okay.
He wants the power.
All right, D. Wood, what do you think? Does it make sense to see Harbaugh back in the NFL?
I think it does make sense. I mean, listen, I agree with Diana. I don't think this is about the money. I think when you look at his Michigan situation, he checked off beating Ohio State, did that. And again, I think the ceiling is only so high at Michigan when you got to ultimately go up against those SEC schools, the Alabamas, the Georgias. But I think that Jim Harbaugh is so accomplished in the National Football League, you know, his time during time with the San Francisco 49ers. I think the Las Vegas Raiders make a lot of sense. You know, what Bart talked about, you know, you got a quarterback who's one of the top quarterbacks in Derek Carr. You know, he'll be able to work with Derek Carr, veteran guy. This team is on the precipice of the playoffs, so it's not like a complete rebuild. They'll be right back in the mix again.
What in the Bo Schembechler are you talking about, man? Are you serious? Beating Ohio State once is the standard? Like, that is supposed to be a given in the Big Ten.
Bart, he's not. Listen, this Michigan, man.
Like, business.
What do you think? Like,
he didn't go there to beat Ohio State once.
You think Michigan going to compete with Alabama and Georgia? Man, those are two different level of athletes, man.
Yeah, like, we're talking about Rutgers or something. That's Michigan. Michigan,
you know, there's a different level.
They got all the money. They got as much money as anybody.
Between Michigan and Alabama and Georgia. We saw the different level of athletes out there. You saw that with your own two eyes. You just banged your head up against a brick wall.
I've also saw Ohio State from the Big Ten win championships, and they brought him in there to win championships. Mm. They paid him a lot of money to win championships, not to beat Ohio State once. What? He still lost to Michigan State this year.
Well, I got to leave it there, but I'll tell you what. This is why we've been so fired up about this very topic all week. Now, let's turn to the NBA real quick. I want to run the floor because it was a big night in the league, especially because of this. On the night that Dirk Nowitzki's number was retired, that was an emotional moment. Luka Doncic finished with 26 points. As the Mavs beat the Warriors 99-82, Doncic ended up tweaking his right ankle. Curry was 1-for-9 from three. He suffered a quad contusion, and he may miss tonight's game in New Orleans. And then there was a wild finish in Spurs-Celtics, trailing by two with under 6 seconds left. Jaylen Brown steals the inbounds pass, and his layup to tie is no good, but the Celtics unable to get the putback as time expires. Spurs hold on to win 99-97. To another dramatic finish in Washington, tied with under 5 seconds. Kevin Porter Jr. hits the step back three with 0.4 seconds left. Look at them fired up right there. Porter Jr. with the game winner in his first game back from suspension. Rockets win it 114-111. And then to 76ers Magic, Joel Embiid led all scorers with 31 en route to a Sixers 116-106 victory. Embiid records his fifth straight 30-point game in Philly's fifth straight win. And speaking of the NBA, oh, we got a good one coming up for you, a Friday doubleheader. Tips off in Brooklyn with KD and the Nets hosting Giannis and the Bucks at 7:30 Eastern, followed by Trae Young and the Hawks taking on LeBron and the Lakers. Both games are on ESPN and the app, one tap. Well, coming up, Aaron Rodgers blasts a reporter who won't vote for him for MVP based on his off-field comments. Our experts tackle the question, is he right?